if you're like refusing to live those experiences and you're shutting everything out, and that includes like new music, if you're shutting that stuff out and you're always kind of staying with one,
right,
then like how are you going to grow and how are your new ideas going to come in?
Welcome to the Cloud Machine Podcast, your all-access pass to the music industry. I'm your host, Matt Landry, and every week we immerse you in the music world, uncovering industry insights, offering expert guidance, and exploring the stories that influence the industry. The Cloud Machine Podcast is brought to you by Aites, the innovative creative agency behind some of your favorite live concerts and tours. Want to take your music to the next level? Join our vibrant community on the Aites Network Discord. And with that, let's get started with today's episode.
Welcome back to the Cloud Machine Podcast, your backstage pass to the music industry powered by Aites Creative. I'm your host, Matt Landry, and this week we're diving into the world of indie pop with a very special guest who also happens to be one of my best friends. I'm thrilled to welcome back Akeem O to the show. Akeem is a fantastic singer-songwriter who's been creating heartfelt, authentic music that resonates deeply with listeners. After a few years of anticipation, he is back with a brand new single called Faux Motion, set to release on September 12th. Now, we are recording here ahead of time, so by the time the listeners are listening to this, the song will already be out. This track is fresh, a dancey tune that explores the fear of missing out and youthfulness, an intriguing combination of themes that I can't wait to unpack with him. To date, we've had Akeem on the podcast twice before, but this is a year and a half ago, and there's been a lot of change in our lives, in Akeem's lives, and to this podcast. So we are feeling extra special today as we discuss his latest work, his journey over the years, and everything that went into creating Faux Motion. So let's jump right in. Hey, Akeem, how's it going?
Hey, I'm good. Happy to be here. It's great to be here because I know that for the past year, you've kind of been doing like the remote thing for the podcast.
So that's right.
It's great to be here. It's almost like when like the pandemic was happening and we couldn't see people and now we're like, we're here.
We're back here. Yeah. Yes. It's a very rare edition of the Cloud Machine podcast from home in person. Yeah. So yes, it's great to be back here. I want to start off the live show with our question that we always ask here. What has been your favorite live show experience as a fan?
Yeah, I'm going to have to say Radiohead.
Yeah.
And don't hate me for that, you know, because I know Radiohead's your favorite.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah. But I haven't seen them live, though, so please. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like a last minute thing with my friend Gab Sia, who's also a great musician.
Shout out, Gab.
Yes, sir. He sent me a message the night before they were playing in Montreal and he was like, yo, you want to go see Radiohead? And I was like, why not?
Yeah, that's crazy.
And so I drove there and we went and we kind of just like made our way really close to the front.
Yeah.
And it was just such a great show because they have this kind of like real intimacy to them, I guess.
Yeah.
Like
the
drummer kind of just like plays the songs the way they're meant to be played. You know, he's not like bashing and like giving a big show with like the pyro and everything, you know? So he's just, very delicate in his way of playing. And because these guys have been playing together for such a long time, you feel the respect and the love that they have for each other and like the love they have for what they've built together. So it was really, really like a treat. And they played Spectre, which is like one of my favorite Radiohead songs. And on that tour, they played it four times only.
Yeah.
So it's like amazing that on that night they played it. And it's just crazy. Tom York on the piano and just like the bassist, Colin?
Colin Greenwood,
So he was just like in the back, like, dong, dong, ding, da, dong, dong, you know? So yeah, just doing his thing, you know?
It's so great. They have such a big discography that they can, if they play like two nights, they can really play like 40 plus songs over those two nights and not necessarily like, or at least only replay like a few, like a handful of songs. And I'm so jealous that you got to experience them live. And I can't wait to see them live. If they go on tour again, that's the big question right now.
I feel like they will.
Yeah.
Like it's Radiohead, man. Yeah. You know, I feel like, you know, Tom York's just going to be like, oh, let's let's get the boys back together.
Yeah. You know, well, Colin just, yesterday said that they got together a few months ago to rehearse. So that's always great to hear.
Well, there you go.
For you, what makes live experiences memorable?
Yeah, I think for me, like I want to be eased into it.
Yeah.
You know, like there's so many shows you go to that like they kind of start off with a bang right away. And I feel like it kind of takes away from the rest of the experience, you know, like, and I guess it depends, you know, like if it's like Bruce Springsteen or whatever, like, sure, go all out.
Right.
Mr. Springsteen, you know, but like, I don't know if you go to like, well, listen to like Radiohead or like even like a band like Beach House or whatever, like ease me into it, bring me into your world.
Right.
You know, and that's something that's always been like really important for me as well.
Yes, because you also do that in your show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Like I like to, just like slowly but surely bring myself into it.
You know,
bring people into my world. Like I like to start the show off of the stage and like just like kind of like walking around in the crowd and singing
in the crowd,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And like people are just like, okay, what's going on? And the lights are very kind of moody and, you know? And like by the second verse, I'm like on stage and, and doing my thing and like kind of just bringing them in with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you go to a show and you feel like idolizing the person that's there, you know? But I feel like I want people to connect with me on like a human, like a real kind of like human side, you know? Like, I'm up there, but I'm just like, I'm a human and this is my way of expressing myself.
Right.
So I kind of just want to take them in with me and I'm like, hey, I'm just like you, you know, we're all here living our things and I'm happy to be able to bring you with me, you know?
Yeah. It's fantastic. Yeah. And you know, there seems to be multiple different perspectives with creating a live show. And I feel that like I'm on that side almost every day of being like, okay, do we start the live show with like easing people into it? Or do we really go full wall of sound sort of first note, into the show? And there seems to be like two sort of different perspectives on that. For you, are there things that you reference when you thought about sort of starting your live show, sort of like almost, like you said, in the crowd, sort of on the low note, and then it's sort of like a build throughout the show and the set list.
Mm-hmm. I'm not too sure if there's really like any other artists that I've kind of taken that from.
Yeah.
I think it's just, I love to kind of be eased into things, like just really like dip my toes into it, you know, and like, you know, come in, the water's nice, you know, that type of thing.
Right.
You know,
it seems like you also like surprise as well. Mm-hmm. So like, like starting from the crowd and stuff and like all that stuff is really great.
Yeah. I'm definitely, I also just love the attention that comes with it too. You know, I'm just, I don't know. I love the feeling that I get from going on stage and doing my thing and giving people an experience.
Yeah. Offering something like unique as well that they may have not seen.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic. Hey. On the podcast, we do a quote segment. Now, when you were on a year and a half ago, we were doing an Erica Badu quote that compared the music as an art form to the music business. This year, we're going a different direction. It's a Joni Mitchell quote from 2004. And she said, "I heard someone from the music business saying that they are no longer looking for talent. They want people with a certain look and a willingness to cooperate." Now, I got to say, I got to highlight that this is, she says that she heard someone from the music business saying this. That they are no longer looking for talent. They want people with a certain look and a willingness to cooperate. I want to hear your first instincts when you heard this sentence.
It's funny because like if we were in like the 2000s, like those early 2000s,
like this quote,
like I would say, yes, there's a lot of that,
right?
You know, like the industry was definitely like that. And there was still a little bit of it in like the 2010s. But now, especially with the pandemic, people are really craving like a genuine
yeah.
type of thing, you know, genuine connections, and they want to be able to relate because we all went through something wild together,
yeah.
you know? Although there's definitely still, you know, those artists that will kind of just cooperate with their label and like, you know, and get what they want out of it,
yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
pretty much. But there's a lot of like, there's lots of like authentic artists, yes. even in pop now,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
like, I mean, for me, like Sabrina Carpenter was like someone that like I discovered not too long ago. And I was kind of just like, oh, she's just like one of those Disney girls, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But like, nah, like she's very talented. And even like take Claro, who's like really popping off right now and doing her thing. And I think what people love about her is because she's genuine. She's
yeah.
like, okay, like I'm a girl and I'm living this and that. And like, I'm going to talk about it and I'll be shy about it sometimes and I'll be frank about it, you know?
Yeah.
Which is like all these, yeah, they're, it's valid.
Yeah,
it's very
yeah.
valid, you totally. Know? And I think that, yeah, I think that honestly, like that quote works for that time, but you know, there's definitely more authenticity now
yeah.
I find in the music industry, which is great.
I'm thinking about something now that I've never thought before. You mentioned, you know, two women in the pop, let's say, stream. I really feel like it is the women are dominating sort of the charts right now. I mm-hmm. think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you think it comes along with the authenticity that we keep on talking about throughout these podcasts over the past few months? I've been talking about how authenticity is back.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to people want authenticity through socials as well, through
yeah.
artists, through their songs. Do you feel like there's a correlation between women dominating sort of the pop charts and authenticity?
Definitely. I think that like women, women of color,
yeah.
People from the LGBTQ+ community,
yes.
They have the chance to like tell their stories right
yeah.
now,
yeah.
you know, and those are real, real stories that need to be told.
Yeah.
So I think that, and just because of everything that like women and those communities live on the daily as well, you know, they, when they're put in these positions where they can really tell their story.
Yeah.
They tell it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like if you have so much privilege in the industry, then like that privilege will allow you to just kind of say whatever you want to say, but it might not necessarily be something authentic.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that like, yeah, women right now are just like, they're telling the truth. They're telling it how it is. And
yes.
like, and it's really honest and it's really raw. And so many people need to hear it right now. And it's not just like women that need to hear it. You know, it's like there's communities of people that need to hear it. There's the old white guys that need to hear
yeah.
it, you know, there's, and even just like the industry heads have to hear it too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. fantastic.
Yeah.
Where do you think the industry is going? And are you seeing some new developments from, you know, from where you're at in your process, your chair? Are you seeing some new things that you're interested in that could maybe be like something that we're all seeing in the next few months?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, honestly. I'm not too sure. I think that for me, I still want to kind of like see how I can make TikTok my own and how I can make my reels my own.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's also a bit of a lack of authenticity on that front. You know, like it's often like, oh, you have to follow a trend. You have to blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, how are you going to build a authentic, community of people that follow you if you're doing like a, you know,
right.
Like, yes, sometimes throw it back, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever, yeah, you sure. know? But I mean, like also show some of you, you
yes,
know,
yeah.
like show what makes you unique, what makes you genuinely you,
yeah,
you know, and if you're doing that in your music, then like you should be doing that with everything you're doing. You're, right. You know, if your music is that, then your whole brand is you being yourself.
Right.
You know, and just like own up to it. Yeah. So that's how I see it.
I think that's great.
Akimo.
Let's get into the bigger questions here, the body of the interview. I wanted to chat about your new single, Emotion. That's why we're here today.
Hey.
Just a very general question. What inspired you to write the song? And how did the idea of fear of missing out and being maybe outside I don't want to say necessarily mainstream, but just the themes of usefulness and the fear of, and fear of missing out. How did the idea come up and what inspired you to write the song?
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm not too sure. These ideas kind of just like they pop up, you know, but yeah. There's definitely two things that I can say though. Definitely the pandemic.
Yeah.
Sure. Cause like as things were starting to open up in like 2021, people were going out, but they were like still so afraid. And like, you know, we'd go to shows and people were still like giving each other space. And like, we're kind of like, we're doing things, but we're walking on eggshells.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
We're dancing around,
right, you know, right.
on those eggshells.
Yes.
So yeah, I wanted to kind of write about that and write about, the friendships that I also like lost through the pandemic.
Yes.
Like I think a lot of people went through that. Like mm-hmm. we quickly had to kind of start shuffling and deciding like, okay, well like this person serves me. This person no longer serves me.
Sure.
Which was like, you know, it's a blessing and a curse at the time, but in the long run, it's a blessing for all of us.
Right.
And then I think it also goes back to like my childhood. Like I was bullied a lot and, yeah. And then like when I switched schools, I, started to like people knew me and they loved me and it was great. And I kind of just became this like, oh, like I have to do something. Like I can't just like, you know, stay still. So
right.
suddenly I was doing things for so many people. And I feel like my 20s was essentially that. Like my 20s was the fear of missing out, you know?
Right, right, right,
it's like I had to be doing something for others, you know, all the time and nothing for myself, you
there
know?
You go.
So I think fear of missing out in general is just like, yeah, coming to terms with that and also like finding myself, you know? Like that's what I see, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's so great as a song that feels like a comeback in many ways. For a lot of people, it's also like a discovery of Akimo as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Can you speak a little bit about that? Maybe the time off between your last single Schoolgirl and this mm-hmm. one.
Yeah. I think that I just had to do a lot of like growing personally.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, and it was like, you know, getting rid of like toxic people or like working on like toxic behavior.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also just like realizing that like the process takes the time it takes.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Like I feel like with the type of story and the type of themes I have, I had to take my time to really like, you know,
yeah.
kind of think it through and yeah, that's why I took all this time, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
and you know, like moving out of Ottawa was great. I'm sorry guys, but I had to go. But yeah, I think that like I had to do a lot of different things and a lot of growing in order to release more music.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm at a place now where like I can release music in the way I want it to be released. I don't want to just put music out there
right.
and that's it. And I felt like I didn't have the necessary tools and resources to do the type of releases I want to do. Because
yeah.
like I want to include people in my releases, you know, like I think that it's like so important and you know, I don't know. I like to share myself and get very vulnerable and like I said, I want to bring people on a journey with me, you know?
Yes,
so
yeah.
like sending out letters and postcards
yes.
and like, you know, just like slowly but surely easing them in, you
yeah,
know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
you know,
yeah.
and like showing them that like, maybe I did not release anything for almost 4 years, but I was still thinking about you guys. Yeah, I was still thinking about these people, and like a lot of these people are the people that inspire me as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like it's like I'll go on stage, do my show, whatever, and afterwards talk with people, and the things they say, like they stay in my head. You know, those comments stay in my head, and like the way people feel, and like the energy I'm getting from others, you know, like I'm always kind of like gathering info, you know? And, so yeah, it was important for me to like be able to really kind of include people in my process and take my time and, and really understand what I'm trying to do and who I am as an artist as well. So
that's really beautiful. You mentioned the postcards and the and the letters that you sent out. Everybody loves receiving mail. Everybody loves it.
Yeah,
it goes back to our childhood. You know, it's like oh my gosh, I received a letter. I received the Sears catalog that we were talking about the other day.
That wish list.
That wish. Sears wish list. Wish book. Whatever.
Yeah. Wish book. Yeah.
So classic.
Yeah.
I don't know why that came to mind when I'm thinking mail, but everybody loves mail.
Yeah.
What was the idea around the campaign of Faux Motion? Because you know we're now, when this is released, the song is released. Yeah. Which we'll talk about that as well.
It's wild.
But what was the idea behind sending fan mail? But the other way around, kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to like surprise people and make them feel like they were part of it. You know, it's like the fear of missing out. Well, like I'll make sure you don't miss out,
right?
You know, like I said, I want to include them in that process, you know, and include them in my world. So yeah, it was important for me to like, to send something out and, just kind of give like a bit of like a cryptic type of like thing, you know, like if you got the letter and I'll publish it online, but it's like, it's a dictionary. It's like a page of a dictionary. So like, you know, there's like three different definitions for the word Faux Motion.
Yeah.
And the last one says, the like upcoming Akimo single out September 12th.
Right.
So it was just a, kind of build anticipation.
Yeah.
And, ease the people in, you know?
Yeah. It always comes back to the community and the people. It's great. You mentioned, you wanted to include people so that they don't necessarily feel like missing out, but as well from a campaign perspective, there's also the other people that don't receive the letters.
That's true.
Are maybe having that faux motion, as they say.
That is so true. Like at first I was like, I'm going to send maybe like 40, 50 letters, and I've sent over 150, and I still get messages every day from people saying like, oh, can I get a letter? There will be more surprises definitely down the line. But I just wanted to include them. And I think that like with future releases as well, I want to have something that, that's very personal. You know, I want people to feel like they can come to me, because like I love the human experience. I love people, you know, and, I love connection. I think that also stems from like being bullied and feeling like left out way back.
Right.
So yeah, when I can connect with people, like even if it's like people that like I have nothing in common with, we're human. Mm-hmm. That's something we have in common. And there's so much that divides us now as well.
Yeah.
So like if I can bring people in and be like, hey man, yes, we might have all these differences, but like we also have so many things in common. We feel so many things. We go through things. So let's just like celebrate what we have, you know?
Yeah. By streaming my single.
Yeah. By streaming that single. Come on.
Exactly. Looking back at some of your previous work, comparing Faux Motion to, your past two singles, what's different now? There's a big evolution, you know, obviously from the sonics to the lyrical content to the production as well. For you, I want to hear you out on this. What's different from this process, or this song rather, to your previous work? And what are the new elements according to you?
Yeah, I feel like I used to write from a place that was very kind of like negative.
Okay.
Like I was very like, oh, I'm the struggling artist and I'm gonna like hide a lot of like bad stuff about myself in there, blah, blah, blah. Sure. And like I decided maybe a year and a half ago that like I didn't want to do that anymore. That like I wanted to make music that like if I was listening to it, I would be having a blast, you know?
Right.
And I think the process of recording it too was the same thing. It's like, you know, it's just it just felt so good to create.
Yeah.
You know, like I wasn't creating because I was sad or whatever, you know, like I was creating because I love to create. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Not necessarily doing it for the end process, but doing it because you love doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Yeah. And I think what was cool this time is like, I also knew when to stop.
Sure.
You know, I'm one of those people that like, I obsessively work on tracks until they're just like something else, I guess, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it was nice to just be able to take my time, but also just like, yeah, just do it, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? You know?
Sonically for you, what are the main differences?
Yeah. I mean, very dancey, very percussive, which like, I'm surprised I haven't really like visited that much already.
Yeah.
Because like, as you know, like drums are very important to me.
Oh my gosh.
You know,
I'm the drummer, but he's very particular about his drums and his drum sound and how they, you know, all of it.
Yeah. So like, and it's funny because we were in the studio recording the track and like, I had like, just like this very kind of like bare bones type of demo.
Yes.
And, there was these blocks on the ground and you started to just play with it. And Braden Sauter, who we were working with at the time, recorded that. It was like, oh yeah, like let's try it out. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
And it just like completely transformed the song.
It was crazy.
You know, it's just like, it brought something completely different. And at the same time though, it's also very like a lot of my influences, I mean like Arcade Fire, like especially like the Reflector era is very, very percussive. Foster the People, they have a lot of percussion as well.
I would even say like, while the Beatles aren't necessarily that percussive, just the world of where the song is lays Infomotion is very still Beatlesy. Also, the Beach Boys as well is also very much wood block, you know?
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. It's very Smile Sessions Pet Sounds.
Yeah.
Because, I feel like, just like those little layers can make such a huge difference, you know? Yeah. And for me, when I'm creating, like I really kind of like move my body along to like certain sounds,
right?
You know? And yeah, I feel like that duck, 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 just like, it makes me want to like, just like, you know, move side to side and like, you know, it, and, it also kind of just adds like a bit of like, almost like an anticipation, you know, and especially if we're like, we're going with like the theme of like fear of missing out, like to have that kind of like, okay, like something's coming, like there's percussion and like it's building up. It's like, yeah, you feel like you're missing out.
Right.
You know, like, and you want to be part of it.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that it was, important to have, kind of like a build of instruments that was going to like, well, that would allow you to go through those motions.
Yeah.
That full motion.
That's right.
Come on.
A few questions back, a few minutes ago, you mentioned, that it had been a few years since the release. You said four. And you also mentioned that you needed a little bit of growth, or that you felt like you needed a little bit of growth.
Mm-hmm.
What was the time away? What has the time away from sort of releasing music, and not necessarily music, because you said 2022 was the year that you performed the most. You know, there's been a lot of music in your life since then. But how has those 4 years away from releasing music, what has it taught you about yourself and your artistry?
I mean, I feel like if people love what you do, and if people like support you and, like people will stick around.
Yes.
You know, if you're, man, yeah. If you're like a, I mean, like we all make mistakes, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, folks, but, you know, if you are as honest as can be, people will still follow, you know, a lot of the people that were like the first ones to share Winter Crush, a long time ago now, you know, are the people that are still kind of like, you know, pushing me and like saying like, oh my gosh, like I love your music, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I think that like I was so afraid for such a long time. And even though I'm quite nervous about this release, just like, I think I'm nervous because I'm really excited.
Yes.
You know,
that's, you care.
Yeah. And I care. I care for sure. And I think that like, that's the difference, is that like, I have some of that confidence now that like I didn't have back then when I was releasing these songs. So
right.
By not having this confidence, I wasn't really pushing the songs in the way that I wanted them to be pushed. You know, I wasn't really going full into my projects because I didn't have that confidence. But by growing and by making music for myself and not for others generally, even though Full Motion is for all of you now. just doing that has given me a lot of confidence.
And I
think that like we're really lucky where like indie music is right now, because in the mainstream, like I said a while ago, you have like Claro, who's like not even doing like generic pop, you know, she's doing like these really nice like semi folky things, and like Phoebe Bridgers and Boy Genius, and you know, all of these bands that are just doing, you know, something that's like not necessarily expected of them.
Right.
It's allowing for a lot of growth, you know, and people's ears are changing now, I find too.
Yeah.
You know, people, care a whole lot more about what they listen to. You know, I feel like the 2010s were very like, you know, I mean, the Black Eyed Peas kind of faded around that time, you know, and well, faded. They're still around, but I mean like,
still in
like
legends.
Like I still like some of their stuff now. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean like, you know, they were like on a,
they were on a tear early 2010s, Black Eyed Peas, end, the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Woo, woo. Yeah. Like those were huge, huge records, know? But yeah, after that music became very kind of like manufactured in a way, you know? And I think that was maybe one of the downfalls for the Black Eyed Peas as well, is that like it became very manufactured.
Yeah.
And so when they got back to doing like kind of going back to like their old, like their roots and things, people were like, what, this is different. But it's like, nah, this is the Black Eyed Peas, you know?
Yeah.
All that to say though, that like, yeah, music is a whole lot less manufactured. And yeah, there's, I mean, Chapel Roan, come on.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say Chapel Roan.
Yeah. You know? And there's, to your point of Chapel Roan specifically, there are a lot of artists now, that are coming out of the woodwork, I guess, and that have been doing it for like 10 to 15 years. And they're just now hitting their like mainstream stride right now.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the closest ones that I can think about for me anyway is the Beaches. There are the Chapel Roans of the world. But there are so many others that are now seeing success after doing it for so long. It just sort of blows my mind, right? Mm-hmm. Because before, you know, for the long time we were sort of throwing this word around, industry plant. And it's crazy that people are still calling these individuals, these bands, industry plants, while you can definitely just go look at their discography and their history and go be like, oh wow, it has taken them 10, 15, 20 years to really get to the top.
And I think that there's like just like so much like trial and error that happens, you know, and like necessary growth that happens as well, you know. Like, I mean, like you take the Beaches, they were doing stuff when they were kids.
Yeah.
You know, like they've been around for such a long time, you know, and like people were following them now, but like, or then, but now it's like, it's a whole other level, you know? And some people will say like, oh, like it's overnight or blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
But like, man, they had to do a lot, you know? And like, you know.
And I think even like for, well, there's Chapel that comes to mind. There's that Noel Kahn's of the world that come to mind. It's, it's very refreshing to see that, artists in the industry can still have a boost in their career even after 10 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
definitely.
They're rewarded for it. It's great. I don't think 10 years ago it would have happened.
Yeah, no. And it's even just like what Coldplay's doing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, it's different now, you know?
Sure.
But I mean, like, they're still doing their thing and they're as relevant as they've ever been to their fans, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Or like the ones that... the ones that are into what they do now. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. I want to ask you, talking about longevity and years of making music, I wanted to ask you about the growth and the evolving nature of your music and your artistry from when you started, even pre-Winter Crush to now. Are there any specific moments or experiences that significantly shaped this evolution or like this mindset change for you? Thinking back.
Man, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
It's a really good question. I think that like you just get tired of feeling like you're in a rut.
Okay.
You know, I think that's what it was for me and just like
multiple times. Kind
yeah.
Of thing.
Yeah. Sure. And just like seeing so many of my friends like doing what they want to do and like doing it brilliantly and like successfully. And I was like, well, you know what? Like, man, I have talent too. And like, if I want to make it, I'll make it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it was that. And at first it was kind of like a fake it till you make it. And I would be like, oh my gosh, like, isn't it great to be at chemo? You know, like it was kind of like a bit of like my bit, but it's like, now it's like, no, like I think it's great to be me. And like,
yes. Yeah.
Yes. Like I'm, you know, I'm older. I won't say how old, you know, industry secrets. But I still feel so hopeful and I feel like there's so much to come.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful for, so thankful, so grateful for everything I've had to go through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And everything I've put myself through as well.
Sure.
Because, yeah, so much growth, so much, like, just so much, like, so many life experiences that I, yeah, I'm just proud to be here.
Yes.
Happy to be here, man.
It's fantastic. I want to ask about the past, but also about the future, because we were speaking about it off the air a few nights ago. And without necessarily divulging any secrets or anything like that, beyond Faux Motion, what can listeners expect from Akimo moving forward? Are there years between releases? I hope not. Are there any new themes or sounds that you're excited to explore in the upcoming projects? I just want to hear you on that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I right after this song comes out, I plan on going right back into the studio.
Yeah.
I have a song that's ready to be mixed.
Yes.
That's planned for a little later, but I also have two others that I'm working on getting just up to shape. But yeah, I'm excited about just like releasing music for real.
Yeah,
you know, and it does feel like an EP is actually coming this time. But I mean, hey, I think that what's been great is through all of like the eras I have been through since Winter Crush has come out, they've all kind of worked together. They're all like part of like that same world.
Yeah,
you know, so like, you know, like I remember like last year I had like the you know, when fear of missing out kind of started to show up, I had like the kind of like schoolboy look.
Yeah.
I had the schoolboy. Yeah. I had the schoolboy. Akimo. I had the schoolboy look last year. And we kind of like transformed it as I still have a little bit of like that schoolboy thing, but it's like a casual and like, yeah, dressed up and dressed down type of mix now,
right?
You know, so
he's graduated.
He's graduated. Yeah. But he's still like a little like delinquent. You know?
There you go. Yeah.
A little. Yeah.
Fantastic. I wanted to talk to you because as of right now, it's an industry secret, but it is September 9th. Mm. The song comes out in 3 days.
Yeah.
The listeners that are listening to it.
Yeah.
It is going to be the 17th, 5 days after its release. I just wanted to talk to you and document how you're feeling now. Any nerves? Is it all excitement? How are you feeling now?
Yeah, I'm nervous, but like it's like an excited type of like nervousness, you know?
Right.
Like I'm ready.
Yes.
That's the thing. I'm ready.
Yeah.
You know, like I still have a lot of like promo stuff obviously to like work on, you know, it's like, it's a process until it's out and also like afterwards too.
Yeah.
And like, I'm already thinking about like the next part and like the campaign between this single and the next one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel ready and I feel like it's time to, bring out some other sides of myself as well. Like this one was kind of like, I'm exploring, you know, the fear of missing out with like connections and things and, and losing people in my life. And like, I feel like now I want to bring people like on the inside, you know, like we're gonna start unpacking, you know? And I think that I'm still gonna kind of stay in like in that pop universe, but it's, yeah, I want to explore some stuff that like I have not explored yet.
Mm.
If that answers your question.
No, it's fantastic. Oh, hey. It's fantastic. And back to Full Motion, just for a bit, are there personal experiences, stories embedded into the Full Motion song? And I don't want to say the Full Motion song, just in Full Motion. You know, talking about those experiences for years, 4 years now, through your losses, but also gained experiences. I know just from being your friend, us talking every day, that you love the double meanings and the surprises, as I mentioned earlier as well. Is Full Motion biographical, I guess, is what my question is.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that everything I write is quite biographical in a way.
Yeah.
It's funny because like, you know, I've unpacked some of it and I know about the song to a certain extent, but the more I grow, the more I kind of listen to it, the more I kind of find things,
you
know, like right now, one thing I can think about, and it's a line that like, I would have probably never, ever said, because like, I feel like some of my family, when they see that I've said this, they're going to be like, what? But yeah, like I say, you know, used to find you here, but now I do my dreaming alone.
Yeah.
Tried to disappear. So now you spend your days getting stoned.
Yeah.
So that's kind of also just like, I used to smoke weed.
Yeah.
I was one of those, you know,
sure.
And that's a thing that I stopped doing almost 10 years ago.
Yeah. Now, I was going to say,
wild. Yeah.
I don't think
year,
I ever knew you.
Yeah.
As a quote unquote, I don't want to say it like this,
yeah,
but a quote unquote stoner.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I don't know if it was ever like that. Maybe it was.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Just full of surprise. It'll be
stay
in that
tuned
bio
next
film,
week.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. And I think that's kind of like also about myself, like my resistance, like being around people that like are like always kind of doing that type
sure.
of thing, you know, or like people that like might have like like big vices or things, you know, because I don't want to kind of bounce back into my old ways.
Sure.
You know, so it's kind of looking at that, you know, and trying to disappear as well, which was kind of like my thing as well for a while. So I think that like there's a lot of a lot of unpacking there. The more I go through those lyrics, the more like things will pop up. And, you know, we like to think that like pop music is just like these catchy words that are put together, but there's always meaning to it, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I can't wait to kind of dissect it a little more. And like, if people want to dissect it too, like go right ahead, man, find that meaning in there, girl. Come on, girly pop.
You mentioned pop music, we mentioned throughout this episode, we mentioned a lot of different artist names. We feel like the indie scene, the pop, the mainstream scenes are very much evolving. They're changing all the time. How do you as an artist stay relevant to that? And do you even think about other people when you are marketing, creating, all the different stages of putting something out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I feel like now more than ever is I keep my ears open.
Yeah.
You know, like I try to kind of take in what's going on. Because like my first love is music.
Yeah.
You know, it's sure. Like it's the sounds and it's the way that it makes me feel. And like, I'm one of those weird people that like, I kind of get like that synesthesia type of thing where like I feel, see color kind of thing when I listen to music and when I make music. So yeah, I'm trying to just be a little more open because I used to be so closed off to the new music.
Yeah.
Like a lot of like the, you know, like we'll say like 2005 to like 2010, like golden era for me, you know, a lot of that stuff I hated back then.
Right.
It's like put Timbo on, put like, you know,
yeah,
Nelly Furtado.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Black Eyed Peas. Like,
yeah.
I have such an appreciation for that stuff now, you know? Yeah. So, and I'm sure that I would have loved it at the time too.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I'm trying to just be open and hearing things and not just listening to what's mainstream or like listening to what is being recommended to me on like Spotify. It's like,
yeah,
okay, I'll go to shows or I'll talk to my friends and be like, okay, like what's inspiring you? Like what's like keeping you going right now? Mm-hmm. You know, it's being open to that. And I think one thing for me is the 1975, I used to be a hater.
I used to
be such a hater. And sometimes I bring it back just to like, you know, spite my pals a little bit. But like those guitar licks are great.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You know, and like the nice clean sound. So yeah. Like I've, yeah, sometimes when I record guitars, I think about the 1975, you know?
Wow.
I know.
It's the first time I hear I keep talking, you know, about the 1975 in a positive light.
Yeah, yeah. Like the song Sense is basically like a ripoff of the 1975 in a sense, you know?
Whoa.
And I try to kind of like sing a little British at some point.
There you go.
So, yeah.
It's a tease for those for those listening.
Hey.
And another song.
Hey.
It's potentially...
Yeah,
who eventually going to come out.
Will be great, you know.
Fantastic. And I wanted to sort of move towards the conclusion. I wanted to ask any general tips for people that may be experiencing the creative block. And maybe not necessarily the creative block because, you know, I deem you as a fantastic creator of music. But there was a time very recently where there was a lot of creation, but there wasn't necessarily any struggle. There was a struggle with sharing it,
mm-hmm,
or maybe getting through the entire process of it. Any advice or personal stories for those that may be experiencing that right now? Just want to hear you on that.
Yeah, I mean, like, go through the motions, for sure, but the fault motion. But don't let it take over, you know? I feel like writer's block is when you're so focused on trying to get something done And that's what kind of happens to me, is I kind of fall into that thing sometimes where like, I'm like, okay, I want to write something great. I want it to be catchy.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes I also think about like how like you and I and our friend Noah Monkton from the High Loves, we write together. So sometimes like when I'm writing, I'm like, oh, but like I need to bring something like brilliant, you know, because like these guys, like they know what they're doing, you know? So yeah, all I say is live your life. Honestly, live your life, because like as an artist, it's life that fuels you. Yeah. You know, it's not, overthinking is not what's going to like fuel your work. It's really like doing the things you want to do, going out there, living those experiences, and those experiences come right back to you.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, I feel like, not being able to do what I wanted to do. I don't know. It just kind of, I think it happened for a reason, honestly.
Yeah.
And I think it was to push me to get out of my comfort zone. And my comfort zone was Ottawa for such a long time.
Sure.
And the minute I moved, it's like idea after idea. It's because you're in a better place. You're feeling better about yourself. And you're like, okay, I can be myself here. I can do what I want.
Right.
Living new experiences. And then it comes back to you. It always comes back to you, you know? But if you're like refusing to live those experiences, and you're shutting everything out, and that includes like new music, if you're shutting that stuff out and you're always kind of staying with one,
right,
then like, how are you going to grow, and how are your new ideas going to come in?
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Because if you're letting go, if you're stopping the new songs or new ideas, there won't be any more after that if you stop letting, like, if you keep the door shut on the first ideas, you know?
Yeah.
It won't continue coming through if you're stopping the first ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, of course, like I love vintage stuff. I will always love vintage, and I'll always love like the Beatles and like the Beach Boys and blah, blah, blah. But there's still some great pop stuff here now.
Yeah.
You know? And like, we can celebrate all that stuff and take like inspiration from that. But like, why not celebrate what we have now as well?
Yeah.
Because like what we have now is what needs to be told as well. And I think it's also just like an older mentality as well. It's kind of like, oh, well, like we don't have what we had when we were young, and the kids don't understand and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I think it's just that like the kids need to live what they need to live, you know? And I don't know if this like goes with the rest of it, but that's where my mind went. Boy.
Yeah.
Boy.
I think it's such a great advice to just live.
Yeah.
First.
That's what it is. Just, you know, live, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And life always like put yourself out there in life, and life will give you just whatever you need right back.
There you go.
You know, manifestation, my friend.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Wanted to conclude the ep on the Dreamfest game.
Oh.
Now, for those listening to the podcast, we do a couple games here on the pod. I don't believe we did this one last time.
No, nope,
because it was very early. I don't even know if the Dreamfest game was existing at the time, but I have so much fun with this one. And basically, for those who don't know what the Dreamfest game is, I give my guest the chance to basically design program their dream festival lineup. Ask them headliner, middle act, opener, so three acts, where it would be, at what time of the year, what decade it would be in, as in the era, how they would put their own signature on the festival, and fun question to end, if there was one food or beverage that they would serve that would best represent them at the festival, what would it be? So okay. Akeem, I'm with Akeem O this week, of course.
Hello.
Stream Full Motion. It's out now on every streaming platform. Go do that. Akeem, what you got for this Dream Fest game this week?
Yeah, so the first question was,
we can go in any order.
Yeah.
But let's say the three acts that you would want at this festival, what would it be?
It's because, like, I would love to have, like, two stages.
Yeah,
you know?
Yes, that's right.
And, like, I see it around, you know, 2010.
Okay.
You know, right before that shift.
Right.
So like on that, on the, so you have like kind of like the pop kind of like mainstream stage, you know? Right. And like, man, I would, who would be the opener? Who would be the opener is the big question, you know? Right. Because like, yeah, I don't know who would be the opener, but I think in the middle of that, you would have the Black Eyed Peas.
Okay.
For sure. And then at the end of the night, you would have Lady Gaga.
Okay.
Because like, yes, for me, the Fame era,
right,
is so nostalgic.
So
like,
so
I remember awesome. It. And like, I remember like hanging out with like my cousins and stuff and like, yeah, you know, like Just Dance was playing and yes, like Paparazzi, which is like, oh, one of my favorite songs. We played it at karaoke not too long ago. It was yeah, great. Yeah. Just to like hear those tracks,
yeah,
and
yeah,
just
yeah,
kind of see, cause yeah, it's so weird. Like the way she has evolved, you know, mm-hmm, and so quick in a way too, you yeah, know? So it would have been, yeah, interesting to see her at that stage.
Yes.
And then on the other stage, you know, like, I feel like an afternoon, like Neil Young set,
oh,
would be amazing.
Yeah.
You know, like Hollywood, you know,
okay, sure,
red one.
Come on now.
You know?
All right.
Yeah. yeah. And then like, Who would finish the night off, man?
I mean, 2010s.
I know.
There's a few ones.
Yeah, that- yeah. Because like, I definitely like, I mean, Paul would be great. Paul was like, his, I don't like to talk too much about his voice because I think that like, his voice just has a lot of history, a lot of like, it tells a tale, you know?
Sure.
But like his like 2009, 2010 voice, like it's kind of like the best of both worlds, I find, sure, you know? And I'm very nostalgic for those McCartney records that came out around that time, like Electric right, Arguments and everything, you know? So yeah, it could be great to have like McCartney at the very end. And yeah, sometimes when like Neil Young and McCartney are in the same city, they play together. Yeah. So that could be just like insane. It yeah, would be yeah, great. Yeah. But I did think of an opener for the other stage, and it would be Kid Cudi.
There you go.
Yeah, because wow, like Man on the Moon, the yeah, first one had just come out with like Pursuit of Happiness, like yes, Day and Night. Like,
wow.
And I remember hearing those songs for the first time and being like, yo, this is like different. This is like a kind of like an indie hipster type of rap.
Yes, you know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like it could
Day
be interesting.
And Night.
Yeah, like it could be interesting to have that, you know, kind of like start the day, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I could also do, like, I could do a French stage, you know, yeah, with, like, Carquois and Malajub and, like, yeah, yeah, you know. Yeah.
Oh, man, there's so
there's
many ways.
So many.
Especially
so
2010s,
many,
too. Like, you could do, like, all Montreal, mm-hmm, but also include the arcade in there.
Yeah. I mean, arcade could finish the night with, like, the suburbs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's like, Malajub, Carquois, mm-hmm, arcade.
Yeah. Which is wild.
Like Cowboy Fringant as well.
Yeah.
RIP.
Oh, oh,
no.
Yeah, but it's cut.
No. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But yeah, to add to that though, like the whole like Malajub, Carquois, Arcade Fire. When I met Jeremy Guerra, the drummer yeah, of Arcade Fire, like he did a like this show at the Record Center where I worked in Ottawa.
Yeah,
and I was playing Carquois in the store, and he was like, "Oh, is this Carquois? Yeah, like yeah, we go way back, blah blah blah." And I was like, there you go. It's
of
like
course,
that Montreal scene yeah, from the time, you know? So
yeah,
that would just be such an insane show.
Where would this festival be?
I mean, I feel like now it's in Montreal.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it could be like, you know, like
pre-Oceaga.
Yeah.
Like early Oceaga. Mm-hmm.
It could
vibes,
be early. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. That's how I see it, you know? And I feel like maybe back then McCartney would have played Oceaga.
Right.
You know? Cause like a lot of those festivals were like a mishmash of like new and kind of like classic rock acts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. So, yeah, I could see that there.
That's
in,
great.
In Montreal.
Blah, blah. How would you put your own signature, Akeem O, on it if you were like their creative director or the mm-hmm, programmer?
They're going to have to just ease on in, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Every yeah, set
every
starts
set,
chill.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I think that like, yeah, just like having like local, like little like local boutiques kind of set up
okay,
shop
yeah,
there for the day, yeah, you know? And like, yes, you have artists from like other cities coming in, but like you're also discovering what's here in this city, you right. know, what makes this city great.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So yeah, I would have a little bit of that. Like a nice little like record shop, you know, like a little booth somewhere would be great, you know? And like in that booth have like a selection of like Montreal artists, you yes, know, to yeah. discover and yeah, yeah, you yeah. know, like things like that. And then like a gin and tonic, you know, everybody gets a gin and tonic, there you, go. You know, free. One gin and tonic.
Well, is that the one food or beverage that you would serve that would best represent you? Is that the gin and tonic?
I mean, I love a good gin and tonic.
Yeah, yeah.
With like fruits.
Yeah, sure.
You
know? Sure.
Like you freeze the fruits like in the ice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
And ooh, cluck, cluck. A little bougie.
Yeah, and it's oof. It's dvra.
It's dvra.
Bah way.
because you gave that answer, in another question, is there a mm-hmm. food that would best represent you that you would also serve at this festival?
Man, I mean, it's going to be a poutine.
There you go.
You know?
Fruity gin and tonic yeah. and poutine.
Yeah.
Very Montreal, actually.
Yeah, and very me, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, this poutine has to have, like, Saint-Albert curds, you oh. know, the Franco-Ontarians, because we supply the cheese, you supply the rest, you know? But anyway, you know, have that, you know?
And on know. That note, no, that's going to be the title of this pod. It's going to yeah. be You Supply the Cheese.
You Supply the Cheese.
Fantastic. Well, that's how we end today's episode, this hey. Week's episode. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. And also thank you so much for being part of the process because, yeah, you really, really brought some much needed change and some much needed feel, you know? So I thank you.
Thanks, man.
Hey.
For those listening, normally I do a conclusion after the podcast, but because we are in a in-person version of the Cloud Machine podcast this week, you know, I just wanted to conclude it like this. Thank you so much for coming on today. For those listening, please follow Akeem anywhere. The dad husband legend,
you know,
Akeemo. That's at Akeemo music basically everywhere.
Yep.
Including yeah. TikTok, including are you on X?
No, I am. Unfortunately.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You are on X.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Instagram, follow on Facebook, you know,
mm-hmm.
MySpace.
I had one. Oh my
there
God.
You go. Go check out Akeemo. If Faux Motion is out now,
it's out.
It's crazy.
It's all yours now.
Yeah.
Feel it. And summer doesn't have to end, you know?
That's right.
You know, just keep this weather going and just kick it by the ocean.
That's right. it really is such a fun and exciting track, and I really can't wait for others to hear it because it's been in our vocabulary for over 2 years now.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing this moment of authenticity with me today. Hey. Vulnerability.
Vulnerable.
And we'll have a drink or something. Again, folks, please, if you enjoyed this conversation, if you enjoy the concept of this conversation, please don't hesitate to like, comment, subscribe, do whatever you got to do to keep informed on the music industry. We're here every week chatting with industry professionals, artists, people in the behind the scenes of the industry as well, and just to keep you informed on the music industry and also to document what's happening. It's also a form of documentation for us at Eights Creative. To document our process, to document our conversations, mm-hmm. and to have a great time doing so. So again, please do whatever you got to do to keep informed and to keep plugged in to hey. Us in our in the Cloud Machine podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Stay safe. Keep on creating. Have a good time. Don't overthink it. Cheers, everybody. Bye.